The rest of us can open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As this is a special day, and we know those videos are pretty accurate for mom, things you do not hear them say. Like that one, dad does all the work around this house. She's not in the room now, so she should be saying that. So, moms, you're appreciated, you're loved. Thanks for filling your God-given role. Understanding no man can fill your role. The roles of a mother and a father were assigned by God with a purpose. And we're created by God. And we cannot switch what He wants to accomplish and the purpose He has for us. Each role is important. It's vital to the proper raising of a kid. Every kid needs mama and daddy. Now, you may point to someone that's done it on their own, and sometimes, unfortunately, that's a need. That was not God's desire or need. But when sin came into the world, it changed a lot of things. And unfortunately, in some cases, a mom or a dad have to do it by themselves. And by God's grace, they can. But every kid still needs that mom and dad. Isn't it funny what a kid learns, though? You speak to them for an hour, teaching them a lesson, sharing your heart with them, and he walks away, seems to hear nothing. You say one dirty word, and he's going to repeat it at church during prayer time. Am I wrong? You know, it's funny what kids catch on to, but understand, parents, teaching our kids is our responsibility. I say that unified, parents. Because when it comes to raising our kids, it's very difficult to separate the roles. It's our parents to teach, as parents, teach responsibility to kids. It's not the school's job. I don't care what they take upon themselves, it's not their job. It's not the neighbor's job, it's not the community's job. Your child, your child, not the community's child. Counter what our president said this week. It's not the babysitter's child responsibility to raise them. It's not his brothers or sisters. It's not your TVs. It's not their cell phone's job. Not YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, or any other of those apps. You know, it's not even the church's job to raise your child. The church is simply an extension of what's supposed to already be happening at home. It is the responsibility of the parent to raise a child. You with me? Don't get mad at me and start throwing stuff yet. All those other places, all those other people can help. They can encourage, they can invest, they can contribute. But the responsibility lays on mom and dad. God trusted you with your kid. Amen. The greatest responsibility you have is those kids. We're teaching them in every instance of our life. As they watch our actions, they listen to the words we use, they see our reactions, they learn. We influence. We teach. If you remember back before, you could look at your phone and see who's calling you. Before the caller ID was placed on your phone, when the phone rang, very often we would yell, "I'm not home." What did we just teach our kid? Tell them to lie. I knew someone that was very proud that they didn't cause their kid to lie. When the phone rang, mama would go climb in the shower and say, "I'm taking a shower." Just standing in a dry shower. Great. Let's teach them to deceive. We call in sick from work, but we're not sick. What do we teach them? When we're not considerate of other people's space, things, their time, teaching that you and yours are more important than others. Little lessons, isn't it? Saying things that we don't mean, such as, "Well, good to see you. Praying for you." We teach them insincerity. When we work so much, it overshadows our family. We teach them priorities. Everything's a lesson, isn't it? Everything we do is teaching. But this works in reverse, too. When you return too much change to the cashier, it was her fault. But you return it to her anyway. What are you teaching your kid? Teaching them honesty. You're teaching them character. And if you've ever been a cashier, you should say amen. Thank you. When you wish good day to that jerk of the town and you mean it, you're teaching your kid kindness. When you serve those people that are mean, the ones that gossip about you, you're teaching your kid to love as Christ loved. When you look forward to church, excited to arrive, excited to participate, excited to see your church family, you teach the importance of being a part of God's body, of God's family. When you worship God in song, and trust me, they're watching you, they're hearing you. When you're excited to sing praises to our God, you teach God's worthiness to be worshipped. Men, your kid need to hear you singing and meaning it. When they see you worship and giving, yeah, I'm talking money now, you're teaching your kid faith and thanksgiving for what God has provided. When you witness to people sharing about Jesus Christ, you teach your kid your sincerity and love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, everything we do is a lesson, isn't it? And your kid's watching you. How often have you said, well, where'd they get that from? They got it when you didn't think they were watching. Amen. It's either amen or it's an ouch. I said ouch. Our teaching comes from our mouth. But if our life doesn't exemplify the teaching, our teaching is void. With me? If your mouth and your actions don't match, none of it matters. But if we see in our lives, and they see you work out and act out exactly what you're teaching with your mouth, the lesson is verified. They have the example before you. We know this applies to both parents, but today, the influence of a mom. And we're going to see the influence of a mom in Scripture today. Moms have a vital role in guiding children. Moms are the nurturer. Mom's the one that's like, oh, I get a Band-Aid. Dad's like, walk it off. Do it again. Yeah. See, that's dad. And quit pinching her, Cody. And moms are the ones that are loving. They have the emotion, the feeling. They care for, they teach, they raise the kid. Mom has a vital role in guiding children. And little, never do we want to belittle that. I got competition today, don't I? In Scripture, we are familiar with a young man named Pastor Timothy. And Apostle Paul calls him his son in the faith because he mentored him and brought him up. And very likely it's because of where Paul planted the gospel that Timothy got saved in Ephesus. Or Antioch, I'm sorry. Somebody's beeping. I'm just putting it out there because everybody's looking. So either someone's backing up. No, I'm just kidding. And Apostle Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith because of his investment. But Paul does not take the credit for Timothy and what he has done. Timothy had two ladies who invested in his life. Two ladies. Two women that were vital to him. And Paul commented on these two ladies in the opening of his second letter to Timothy. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the first couple verses, Paul introduces himself. But listen to what he says to Timothy. As this book Both 1 and 2 Timothy are letters to this pastor, giving instruction, giving encouragement on how to pastor a church. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. I thank you for being right here with us, Lord. I thank you for your word and guiding us, challenging us. And I ask that your spirit would work on each one of our hearts. Bring conviction where that is needed and comfort us. Will you allow that comfort to be? Lord, I ask that you have your way, that your word be spoken this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. See, very encouraging words here as Paul speaks. And we see in his second letter here, he's sharing that he prays for Timothy. And as he speaks of these things, of the things he's grateful for, Paul mentions these two ladies, Lois and Eunice. It's the only place that these ladies are mentioned. This is all we know of them. Not very much, but very powerful. It says a lot right here. And the first thing I notice in this passage, and the first point is faith was passed down. Faith was passed down. Notice in here in verse 5, how Paul worded this. In verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy here saying, as I remember, as I notice, as I take note of your faith, he's commending Timothy for having sincere faith. That's quite a compliment, sincere faith. This is a powerful compliment. He's saying Timothy's faith isn't all about words. You with me? Some of us in here have to tell people we're people of faith. You know what that is? That's not real faith. When your life doesn't line up with what you claim to be following, you're not living by faith. If you're living by faith, you don't have to convince me that you love Jesus. You don't have to convince me you love God's word. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, I've been watching you, and I remember, I see your unfeigned, your strong, your sincere faith. I can see it in your life. Sometimes we get caught up counting knowledge as faith. Knowledge isn't faith. By knowledge, we can be obedient to God, and that is faith. But knowledge isn't faith. We often feel good about how much of God's word we know and have memorized, or we feel good about our religious activity. Again, not faith. Oh, but I go to church every Sunday. We pray before our meal times. We have a big Bible open on a counter at home. But that is not what we are to live by. We are called to live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, is very clear in there. He says, the just, if you've been made right by faith in Jesus Christ, you called upon him for salvation. If his death and resurrection, his shed blood has washed away your sins, he has made you just. He has made you right. And in Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? You're just. Not because of your own works, but because of his work. Therefore, you walk by faith in him. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Faith is obedience to God's word, even when we don't know the results. You with me? When you obey God's word, don't know what's going to come of it. And we got it easy. Who's he talking to? Paul's coming from a group of people that could be killed for placing faith in Jesus Christ. He's living amongst people that if they claim to be Christians, no one would do business with them. So they had no money coming in because no one would come to their business. They couldn't get jobs because no one would hire them because they were Christians. And Paul here is challenging them here and saying, listen, true faith is not knowing the results and doing it anyway. See, we don't know how God is going to use our obedience for His glory. The rest of Hebrews 11 goes on to name off all kinds of men and women who walked by faith. And many of those men suffered and were killed. And I say men, it's women, men and women are listed. But they knew obedience was worth it. Even though they were killed, some of them were killed, they knew it was worth it. See, when Paul commends Timothy's faith here, he's saying, well done, and applying God's word, and being obedient to what God has said. Timothy's faith is more than something he knows or preaches. His life can be seen, and his faith can be seen in his life, and in his words, and in his love for others. You with me? Don't claim to be a person of faith if your words don't match. If the way you treat others don't match. If your actions don't match what the Word of God tells us to live. But Timothy's did, and Paul makes it real clear here. He was encouraging, keep on. Paul made clear where this all started. It didn't just start with Timothy. Look at verse 5 again that we read. About halfway through it says, which dwelt first in thy grandma Lois and thy mother Eunice. Where'd the faith start? When he was a wee little boy. He started witnessing this. The faith was first seen in his grandma's life. Not just her lessons, because grandmas can teach some lessons, can't they? Can anybody else see their grandma's finger in their face? I needed some of those lessons. Grandma's continued, but not just there. Not just by dragging them to church. I believe a lot of generation was lost from God's church because we drug them to church and not loved them there. We didn't drag the church home with them and live God's word at home. But her faith was seen in her life. And grandma's faith was seen in her life to a point it affected her daughter, Timothy's mama, Eunice. And it transformed Eunice to walk in faith, who was also obedient to God's word. You see how it passed down from grandma to daughter to son? Together, these ladies passed their faith to Timothy. And you might say, you know, I didn't have a godly mother. Don't let this be an excuse to not be a godly mother. God called you to Himself. God wants to transform you. God wants to use you to pass the faith to your son, because by His grace, you too can be a woman of faith. Let it be a motivation for you, knowing that your son, your daughter, needs a godly model, a godly teacher. Moms, you will pass down your faith to your child. You with me? Anybody out there? Mom, you will pass your faith to your kids, whether your faith be real or fake. A lot of us have fake faith, don't we? We know the words to say. We know how to act at church. We know how to put the big Bible under our arm. Praise thee, my brethren. Sister. But how are we at home? Are we the model that makes them understand the love of God? That sees the Word of God preached and lived out? These ladies here at home, they were beyond just claiming to be Christians. How do we know this? They modeled the faith. The second thing we see here is faith was modeled. Turn over to chapter 3 here in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. See, Paul mentioned the faith of these two ladies because he had seen the faith himself. He knew them from his traveling, and their faith had some impact on Paul. He took notice of their faith. Probably you can think back in your life of someone that really modeled faith that you could say, wow, I watched their life, I heard their words, it matched up. They were sincere. Not because they were nice, not because they gave out cookies, not because they were the cool kid on the block, but because they loved God in times that were tough. And this was Timothy's grandma. Paul noticed here, this is a lady of faith. And if Paul saw their faith, you with me? How much more would their own kid and grandkid see their faith? Here at church, you may look godly and know the right things to say, but let me ask your wife. Let me ask your husband. Let me ask your children. I'm not going to, don't worry. Some of y'all looked angry already, and don't worry. But you see, they're the ones that see you at all times. They're the ones that see us, our reaction when we smash our finger with the hammer and we start singing, Jesus loves me. They're the ones that sees the mama's reaction when she opens that fridge. Who did it? Jelly's supposed to be here, not up here. You see, they're watching. Everything is a lesson. Everything is a lesson. And these ladies affected their son. And look what Paul's challenge to Timothy was. In 2 Timothy here, chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy was challenged to remain faithful as he has been taught. Timothy had other models too of faith. Other people that affected his life, but obviously the ones that would have been closest to him was Lois and Eunice. They were the greatest influence. They modeled faith in the age that he was so influenced at a young age. And now Timothy was being called out to live out the faith that he witnessed, that they modeled before him. And Timothy's saying, it's your turn to now model that faith, to live it out and be sincere about it. Parents, before expecting our kids to live for Christ, let them witness us living for Christ, applying God's word. Let you and I as parents be able to say what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ Jesus. See, if I'm walking with Christ and my kids imitate me, ultimately who they imitate? Christ. Stephanie with the kids did a follow the their thing through here, and everything she did, they had to do. Thought she was going to fall down up here for a minute, but she did good. And that's what the whole game is. You've played it before. And ultimately, that's what you and I are supposed to do, be following Christ in a way that we act and live in a way he does. And so that those that come behind us, they see our back. They don't see who we're following. They see us, so they start conforming to us. And ultimately, as the closer they get to us, they start seeing who's ahead of us. Our goal is not that they follow us, but in following us, they come to know Jesus Christ. Do you know the reverse also happens? If they're following you while you don't follow Jesus, you're leading them in the pit of hell. Amen? Think about that. If your kid is following you, and every mama wants her daughters to be like them. Every daddy wants their sons to like what they like and enjoy the things they like. And if he follows me and I'm not following Christ, where am I leading him? Anywhere other than leading him to Christ is leading him to the pit of hell. You see how important it is that you and I follow Christ sincerely so that when we are followed, we lead them to Jesus Christ. Our kids need to see faith active in our lives. Why? Why is it so important? In James 2:26, his faith without works is dead. If your kids don't see you model faith, your teaching is worthless. You with me? Doesn't matter. Your teaching doesn't matter if you don't model it. They will see insincerity. They will see it wasn't good enough for him. Why is it good enough for me? Oh, sweetie, church is important. We just happen to skip it every ball game. We skip it anytime we don't feel like getting, when I get up late, when the Chiefs play. But church is important, trust me. Guess what? If it ain't super important to you, for them it's going to be less important. Oh, God's word, it's authority, amen? It's important, we got to... But the only time they see me with the Bible open is here in church. What are they going to think? He watches TV every day, plays with his cell phone every day, but the Bible, only when people are looking. What have we taught our kids? You see there the sincerity that our faith will expose us and our teaching will not matter if it does not match our lives. Faith without works is dead. Timothy had the faith passed down because his grandma and his mama modeled it for him. And in modeling it, they were teaching. They were also teaching him. And that's the third thing we see here. Faith was taught. Modeling is vital, but it must also be taught. You with me? And there is a difference there. This is where we want to help them understand why we do what we do. A lot of times we miss out on people continuing things because we tell them to do stuff, we don't tell them why we've done it. And that goes back to, oh, I was drugged to church. You've heard somebody say, I don't go to church anymore because my mama drugged me here all the time when I was a kid. You didn't teach them to love God. You didn't teach them the purpose for church. So we've got to understand that we need to teach the kids as we model it. We need to teach how to apply God's word, how to use it in our lives. Paul's again reminding Timothy of those ladies' investment when he talks here in chapter 3 again. Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See that? And that from a child. That word actually comes from the word infancy. When you were a wee little baby, you were taught God's word. God's word was invested into you. They probably read together at home, studied the scriptures. Deuteronomy 6 tells us, as he told the Jews, that everything is a lesson. Now, we're not going to turn there and really pull up the scriptures. But Deuteronomy tells us to use every instance in our life to teach, whether we're just talking, whether we're walking, whether we're sleeping or we're waking up, using it, teaching our kids, pointing to Jesus. It should be on every part of your life, written on the walls, the doorposts. It says on your forehead because of what they used to wear on their heads. Everything should point to Christ. Let me ask you, is every part of your life, are you teaching Jesus? Are you teaching God's word? Because that's our privilege, isn't it? As parents, that's our honor to be able to do. See, these ladies, grandma and mama, you notice the dad wasn't mentioned, yeah? Not because his role wasn't important, it was. But according to Acts, it appears that dad was probably an idolater. And probably by this time dead. He's gone out of the picture. And these ladies are training and teaching Timothy correctly how to obey God's word. She's not liking a message, I'm telling you. And Proverbs 22, verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You're familiar with that. Listen to that again. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train, 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 train him. Sounds so mean. You realize we always train before we teach? You ever notice that? You always train before you teach. When a baby's little, you trained him not to bite others. When they're tiny, they don't have to be old, right? But you train them not to. You slap their mouth with soap in the mouth. I don't know how you do it, but we do something. Teach them not to bite others. Why? They're not old enough to understand why yet. But they all are old enough to learn, they better not. You train them. You train them not to go out in the streets. You train them to teach them their boundaries and tell them how far they can go, but they don't understand why. They don't understand kidnapping. They don't understand a car hitting them and running over. They don't understand the pain. Just understand not to touch the hot stove. You teach them not to put their hand up there on a burner, right? Do we? We train them at a young age before we can teach them how, because they don't understand yet. We train a kid to obey. We train a kid to sing praises in church. We train a child to go to church. We train a child to act godly. As they grow, we're able to teach them because they start to understand. And we teach them slowly. And they can start understanding the love of God. And we train them to do it first. And we model it. And then we teach them to do it and the reason why they do it. You know why? Your child needs to know more than just how to do it. He needs to know why he does it. We can sing praises all day long. Kid needs to know why we sing praises to our God. And go to every church service. Sunday night, Wednesdays, extra Bible studies, about glory. Go to everything. He needs to know why he goes. So that he has a desire to love God on his own and obey, be obedient. So we've got to start when they're little and training them. We train them to be nice, to obey, to go to church. But then they get older, we teach them why they do it. Why should they be nice? It reflects Jesus Christ. Why should we obey? Our parents are the authority God has given to us. And our parents are a picture of the ultimate authority, God. That's why we teach them to obey. Why do we go to church? Because we get to encourage others as we're encouraged. We challenge others as we're challenged. We fellowship so we can build one another up. If we want our kids to know Christ and live godly lives, we must pass down faith by modeling it and teaching it. And then there's one more step that's really hard. So far, we pass it down, we model it, we teach it. The next step is faith is sent. Faith is sent. This is the hardest part, because in Acts 16 we see Paul is traveling. This is before he ever met Timothy. He's preaching, he's visiting churches, and he stopped by a church in a city named Lystra where he noticed a faithful young man, been about 15 years old, serving in the church. He learned this young man had a great reputation. He watched his faithfulness, and his reputation was one of faithfulness and godliness. This young man was serving others, doing what he could. And listen to this. You know what Paul said when he saw this young man? Listen to these words in Acts 16:3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Let that sink in. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Paul wanted this young man, Timothy, to start traveling with him. He's calling this young man to go be a missionary with Paul. This is every mama's nightmare, ain't it? You want my kid to go to the jungles of Africa? You want my kid to move 6 hours away from me? You want my kid to pastor? You want my kid? Oh, that's not what I raised him for. That's a nightmare. Sending your son away, maybe never in this culture to see or hear of him again. Maybe to travel dangerous, dangerous lands. But Timothy went. He was mentored by Paul. He became a pastor in Ephesus. Why? Where did it start out? Grandma and his mama invested into his life. And they recognized that God had used them to prepare Timothy for such a time as this. You with me? Lois and Eunice invested in Timothy since infancy, since he was a little baby, so that God could use him for God's glory. You with me? Did you catch that? Here, Grandma living a godly, faithful life, teaching her daughter to live a godly, faithful life, teaching their son, or the grandson or son, to live a godly, faithful life. And then one day, some pastor guy comes through and says, I think he'd be good to go on missions with me. And in the godly heart, Mama said, you mean to let God use him? That's what we raised him for. We raised him to honor God. We raised him to be sensitive to God's calling. We raised him to be used by God. And so when the opportunity came, he had learned to listen to God's guidance. Parents, isn't this the reason we raise our kids in God's word? Parents are scared to shake their head. Yeah, no. What if God calls them away? You say amen. Isn't this the reason that we model faith to them? Is this not the reason we teach them and train them in God's word? Isn't the best place for our kid in the center of God's will? The truth is, that's a cute saying until it comes to our own kid, isn't it? Our purpose isn't to send them away. Our purpose is to raise them to be sensitive to God's leading. You with me? To have a desire to obey God's call and leading. Parents, godly kids don't happen by accident. Mamas, your investments change your lives. Your kid will not love God on an accident. Teach him why. Model why. Satan wants to get a hold of your child. He wants to distract them from God and his word. Satan is seeking to destroy and to steal the seed of the gospel. Satan wants to put out the fire of faith that is in him, and he's going to give him every excuse there is. We invest and protect them by modeling, teaching, and sending. And a parent's goal in raising their kids is, as John said in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Mama, the joy of your heart should be to hear your kids have a desire to follow God's call. Eunice and Lois, Mom and Grandma, were probably so excited to see their little boy serving God. Their little boy was willing to give up all the comforts to follow God's calling. Mamas, if you're modeling God's word, you with me? I'm going to close up here with this thought. If you're modeling God's word all you can, teaching God's word at all times, and if you're trying as well as possible to say, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, well done. Keep going. It's not that it's easy. It's just worthwhile. And so, mamas, the first step in bringing your kid is being here today is a great step. You're going to get to enjoy them, serve God. And that's the greatest joy that a man or a woman can experience is watch their kids raise up to serve God himself. Keep modeling, keep teaching, and send them where God leads them. Would you stand with me? You know, the walk in leading our kids and modeling our kids all starts with a decision. You and I deciding that we want to follow Jesus. Come to a realization that I need Jesus Christ in my life, that because of my sinfulness, I must place my faith in Jesus and call on him for salvation. And when I do that, it's not a one-time act. The salvation is permanent, but now he has great things ahead of you. He's put you in his family for a purpose. And called you to walk with him and walk by faith. That's where it starts. And then as you live by faith in Christ, and your kids can start watching you model it in your life, and you teach it with your mouth, they too will have to make that decision. I want to follow Jesus. So let's sing together as we close. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, okay. Commercial break real quick. I need my glasses anyway. I could do vocals. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, never called on him for salvation. This is men, women alike, kids, and seniors. I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can be saved and that Jesus Christ will start that change in our life and transformation that only he can do. And then you can start modeling, teaching, and watching him pass down to your kids. So let me remind you tonight, there's no Bible study. Enjoy those ladies in your life.